Well, it's my distinct pleasure to say welcome and good morning to all of you gathered online from your homes and gathered here in this sanctuary. It's very, very good to see all of your smiling faces behind your masks. I can see the smiles in your eyes. And to be together and to see each other eyeball to eyeball, but also through the camera. This is our new hybrid worship format that we are doing right now. I'll be honest with you, we still have a lot to learn about how to do this exactly right. So may there be much grace among us. May we be patient with one another. But we are here today to celebrate what the Lord has done for us and in so many ways. And that is the focus of our worship this morning. So as I say, I am glad to welcome you here today. But of course, we always come at the welcome of the Lord, don't we? And today I'd like to open our service with this reading from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. And I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly more than all that we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Will you pray with me, please? Our dear Lord, these words are a joy to our hearts. They remind us of what you have done for us in Jesus. And so we do bow ourselves before you, Father. We thank you for giving us your name in this world to wear. And we do pray that according to the riches of your glory and not our own, that you would grant us this strengthening in our inner being now, our individual beings and our collective beings as a church, and that you, Christ, would dwell in the hearts of this church through faith, rooting us, grounding us in love. And for these people, Lord, please empower them to comprehend with the saints worldwide, past, present, and future, what is the breadth and length, height and depth of your love in Christ for them. Because it is your power, Lord, your power who will abundantly accomplish more than we can dream. To you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing together 10,000 reasons why our hearts can rejoice. And if you would like to stand at home here, please join us in standing and singing quietly behind your masks to God. And if you're at home, sing it out. Just belt it out at home, okay? Let's sing together.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Sun. strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy.
Psalm 126, A Song of Ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
This morning we're going to go right into the sermon, okay? I hope that is okay with your spirits. We have much to do in the service today and much to celebrate, so we're going to go right into the sermon. Will you pray with me, please, as we do? Lord, we thank you for the reading of this psalm, the beautiful words that are close to our hearts, and they do cause our hearts to rejoice. We thank you for this psalm. We thank you for those who wrote it and those who rejoiced in you so long ago, and that we can rejoice in you as well. So, Lord, speak to us from this psalm. Speak to our hearts. Enable us, Lord, to do, to hear what you want us to hear from this psalm as we enjoy it together. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 126, you can open to it in your Bibles. That would be appropriate if you brought your Bibles. We are not handing out Bibles for this time in our history just because of COVID. I do encourage you week by week to bring your Bibles. So open to Psalm 126 if you have it. And the title of Psalm 126 tells us that it is a psalm of steps or a psalm of ascents. It's a pilgrim psalm. If you were to join a tour of the Holy Land, especially a religious tour of the Holy Land, you may be given a song book when you start off so that you can sing your way through the Holy Land. Well, the Psalm of Ascents seems to be one of several psalms in the book that was a song book for pilgrims as they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem long, long ago, and then they made the ascent up steps to Jerusalem. So it's a psalm of steps, a psalm of ascents. And in this psalm, the pilgrims, walking as they are asked to reflect back on an earlier time, a marvelous time when the exiles first returned from Babylonian captivity, and they saw with their own eyes Jerusalem again. And so it's a happy little song, maybe a happy little ditty, we might say, and you should imagine it and sing it with a happy tune as you make your pilgrimage. Because we are pilgrims, aren't we? You and I are pilgrims. Pope Benedict said, to go on pilgrimage means to step out of ourselves to encounter God where he has revealed himself, where his grace alone has shone with particular splendor. So the original singers of this psalm were asking people to reflect on how God had and how God has revealed himself. Because we are pilgrims. And we have been on a unique pilgrimage this last 18 months. We have to acknowledge that fact. It's unique because none of us have ever experienced the likes of it before. And it's also unique because we've experienced it and we've journeyed through this COVID pandemic all together with the rest of the world, and yet we've done it uniquely by ourselves as well. It's been a fascinating pilgrimage to make. Well, this particular Sunday, we have an opportunity to just pause on one of the steps
of ascent and to assess how God has been dealing with us in our time of pilgrimage. And the first question that I would bring to this psalm, this beautiful, happy little psalm that is such a joy to read, is why the tears? Where does crying fit into such a happy little psalm? Why are the pilgrims sowing with tears? Again, they're looking back on that time of the return from Babylonian captivity, that time of great joy. It's a wonderful historical event and one of the most important events in the history of Israel. And they return to rebuild their beloved city and their beloved temple. And as they reflected upon their ancestors' return from Babylonian exiles, they had to admit, they had to remember that tears were a part of that original story as well. Now, surely when they returned from captivity, there were tears of joy, weren't they? Because they returned and they saw the city that they didn't know that they would see again, but their hearts had longed for. We read in Ezra 3 about this. It says, the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundations of the house of the Lord had been rebuilt. Had been laid. They weren't rebuilt at that time. They were just starting. But you know, there were also tears of despair because the place that they returned to was not a beautiful place anymore. It had been devastated and destroyed for 70 years. And imagine the sheer amount of physical work they would have to do to rebuild it. And not only that, but they came back to people who were in opposition to them, who did not want them to succeed, but opposed their work. So there were that kind of tears as well. And you know, there were also the tears that memories bring, because some of those people remembered 70 years prior. They were old enough to remember 70 years prior. And the book of Haggai provides a partial explanation for that when he says, who is left among you that saw this house, that is the temple, in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? And again in Ezra 3, many of the priests and Levites and heads of family, old people who had seen the first house and its foundations, wept with a loud voice when they saw this house. So there were the tears that memories bring. And as for the pilgrims, now reflecting back on that time, making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, there were tears sometimes for them as well. Because, well, that's just how life is, isn't it? Not every pilgrimage is made in a celebration. Other pilgrimages are made to ask hard questions and to look for the answers of life. There was a movie made for that about that 11 years ago, about the walk in Camino de Santiago. It's called The Way, and it's about that exact thing, about somebody who ends up making the pilgrimage in Santiago, not because he wanted to, but because his son had passed away, and he was dealing with that life question. Well, the writer of Psalm 126 is able to simultaneously look back on God's restoring work in the past, and even while crying out to God, saying, God, we need your restoring work again, just like you did in times of old. So the metaphor of the second half of the psalm is sowing in tears. And there are tears which flow even with when they get on with the work, even when they get on with life. Because there's a time to sow, and when that time comes, you have to plant. You can't wait, because the opportunity will not come around for another year. That is life. That is real. We sometimes sow in tears, and those tears of sadness are real as well. But this psalm does not stay on the tears, does it? It does not land on the tears. It goes on, and it includes a prayer. Lord, restore our fortunes like the watercourses in the Negev. The Negev simply means deserty land, wilderness. And it describes several areas in southern Israel where there's very little rainfall, and so the land is of marginal agricultural use. That is, until rainy season comes. The rivers there are what we call wadis. And wadis are dry beds that have no water in them at all until rainy season comes. And then they are flooded torrents. I spent some time in West Texas. And they have those bone-dry riverbeds there. I remember when I first got to West Texas, I went for a walk in a riverbed. And how quickly nature takes over in those riverbeds. It was full of spiders and armadillos and various plants that had grown up since the last rainy season. And so I enjoyed my walk there, but I quickly learned that come the rainy season, you better not be anywhere near that because they are deadly. They are so full of water. They are raging torrents when the rains come. And so the prayer here in Psalm 126 is that God would make us like the wadis of the Middle East. Lord, right now, he seems to be saying, as I make the pilgrimage to Zion, I'm like a dry wadi, but you can make me like a raging river, overflowing in rainy season. And no matter where you're at this morning, there's something in that imagery for you. If you're dry right now, God can fill you. But if you're in a time of fruitfulness right now, we thank God for that as well. So we stop in this psalm with the psalmist and assess where we are on that journey, on our pilgrimage through this time right now. Such is life, isn't it? It's not always the rainy season. It's not always the fruitful season. We wish today we were celebrating the end of the pandemic, don't we? I wish that with all my heart, but we're not. We're not celebrating that. We wish the pandemic had been an 18-month vacation, right? But it wasn't. We can't celebrate that either. We wish we were coming today to an overflowing house, but that too is not available to us. Because our journey through this pandemic and our journey through life includes times of tears, times of sowing in tears. And if you're sowing in tears right now, that is okay. We do not ask you to pretend that it's not the case. We simply today pause and we thank God for the great things that he has done for us because it is good and right to do so. And then next week, we're going to gather again. And next week, we're going to have a time where we confess before God that there have been many losses during this time. We are going to lament together what has been lost in the pandemic because that too is real. So we celebrate what God has done today. Next week, we pause and we cry out to God for the things that we have lost. Well, at this point in coming out of the pandemic, we do emerge into what I would call a semi-desert. And if you go and visit a desert or a semi-desert anywhere in the world, whether it's the Middle East or Africa or Australia or West Texas, if you go in a dry season, you're going to have a very different experience than if you were to go in the rainy season. In a dry time, the sowing is difficult. The sowing is difficult right now. When the Jewish people returned from captivity, they did not return all at once, but they came in stages, groups of people in different stages of return. And so too is our coming out of this pandemic. We, like so many churches in Canada, are trying to reopen today, September the 12th, right after Labor Day. But we're doing so in a hybrid fashion. The first stage of those returning are here, but there will also be many of you gathered virtually, and we welcome you here today. We welcome you to wait for the stage when you can return with us as well, because there will be other stages for us to go through. Imagine how those exiles, when they first came from Babylon, would have rejoiced if they could not only return to Jerusalem, but have a Zoom call with their friends and neighbors back home. That was not available to them, but it is available to us. And we read in Ezra 3, no one could distinguish the sounds of joy from the sounds of weeping. And so I welcome the expressions of joy that we can share here today as well. Well, the first half of Psalm 126 especially tells us that it is a song of restoration. As I said, it harkens back to one of the great events in Israel's history, their return to homeland after 70 years of captivity. But they not only returned, but they were part of a paid rebuilding project funded by the government of their captors. Who ever hears of such a thing? Such an event was so unlikely, so unheard of, that the surrounding nations were forced to acknowledge that Israel's God had indeed done great things for them. And the psalm celebrates that fact. And it was like a dream to those returning exiles. It was like a dream because they didn't dare dream that it would ever happen. But when their dreams had finally come true, they rejoiced. In captivity, they had been reduced to saying, "How can we sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land?" But now, when they returned, we're told their mouths were filled with laughter, their tongues with shouts of joy. And they're able to acknowledge, even through their tears, that the Lord had and has indeed done great things for them. And the pilgrim, in looking back and singing now this song of ascents, is asking God to do the same thing. "Just as you restored the fortunes of Zion then, Lord, so restore our fortunes now." And even though there are tears as the need for restoration is realized, this is a psalm of hope and a psalm of joy. And the pilgrim is brought again to acknowledge, "The Lord has done great things for us." Just as God will bring rain to the parched land, and just as flooded riverbeds will restore the land for growing new crops, so the sower can always be assured of a harvest of joy. And the psalmist is assured of this because of who God is. In these beautiful images of land being refreshed by flooded streams and of harvest coming after the planting, we're also reminded that God's ways take time. God is patiently waiting and working, even when the work is unseen to us, even when the work is below the surface. If you plant a seed in the ground, you don't know what's going on in the ground. You don't know what's going on inside that seed. But somehow that seed does not rot with the rest of the things in the ground. It does not decompose. But because there's life in that seed, it grows. Unbeknownst to us how it happens, but it grows. And sooner or later, it will pop its stem through the earth. It continues to grow even when we do not see what is happening, even when we cannot celebrate its life. As our celebration today is real, but it is a muted celebration. For we know that our return from the exile at this pandemic will be, at best, in stages. But what is not muted, people of God, what is not muted is our celebration, our realization of the great things the Lord has done for us. Whether we are here, whether you're at home, no matter what stage of life you're at, no matter what stage of the pandemic you are at, we can still celebrate what the Lord has done for us. You know, God has kept us together the last 18 months as a church. And we see that in so many ways. From my vantage point, I can see that in so many ways, how God has kept us together. And of course, we thank God for technology with telephones and emails and websites and Zoom conferencing. What an amazing world God has given us to do ministry in. We may be small in number, building today, but we are healthy, we are connected, we are together physically and virtually. The Lord has done great things for us. As much as we have complained about this pandemic, we know that there are not many places in the world that would be better to be quarantined than Canada. Well, okay, maybe New Zealand. But if all 37 million of us went to New Zealand, it wouldn't be such a great place to be quarantined either. But you know, our political leaders have worked on our behalf, and they provided what was needed for us to survive and thrive during this time. We even have free health care. The Lord has done great things for us. All of us who have wanted it have now been double vaccinated. Some of you have even been triple vaccinated, and repeat testing whenever you've needed it, all paid for. They even paid for our parking. The global medical scientific community has been working on our behalf and in record time. The Lord has done great things for us. And I could go on. You could go on. But instead of me continuing to preach about it, we're going to do three things in this service, which also joyfully shout about the great things that the Lord has done for us. We're going to sing a song. And then we're going to welcome a new member into this church. And then we're going to share the Lord's Supper and remember the greatest thing the Lord has done in sending Jesus for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. And then Jane is going to share the personal testimonies that you've been sharing with her in prayer. Well, fellow pilgrims, we're singing songs of hope and joy together as we travel. We are sowers, and yes, sometimes we water our planting with our own tears. But we are confident in the Lord that he will bring a harvest, and that harvest will, in its time, in God's time, come with shouts of joy. So let me sing this song with Ellis and Judy's help to you. But it's a good one. Will you stand, please, if you're able?
When the Lord brought us back and restored our freedom, felt so good, felt so strong. First we thought we were dreaming. How we laughed, how we sang, we were overflowing. Then we heard the nations say, look what the Lord has done. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Hear also the words from Paul's letters to the Ephesians. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. The elders of Fellowship Christian Reformed Church have welcomed Bernadette Denomey, who appeared before them and made profession of her Christian faith. Bernadette, come before us to make public profession of faith. Bernadette has been baptized into the body of Christ. In making public this profession of faith, she affirms the meaning of her baptism. Through baptism, Christ called Bernadette to new obedience, to love and trust God completely, to forsake the evil of the world, and to live a new and holy life. We ask her now to declare her faith before God and Christ's church, that we may rejoice together and welcome her as a sister in Christ. Bernadette, beloved of God, I ask you before God and Christ's church to reject evil, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and in the world?
I renounce them.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Will you be a faithful member of this congregation and through worship and service seek to advance God's purposes here and throughout the world?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Now, to you members of this congregation, gathered today both physically and virtually, do you promise to love, encourage, and support Bernadette by teaching the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship, prayer, and service? Bernadette, do you promise to accept the spiritual guidance of the church, to walk in a spirit of Christian love with this congregation, and to seek those things that make for unity, purity, and peace?
I do.
Now, I would ask everyone present to join in confessing our faith as expressed in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God Almighty, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please pray with me. Defend, O Lord, this your servant Bernadette with your heavenly grace, that she may continue to be yours forever and daily increase in your spirit more and more, until she comes to your eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Congregation, will you please rise as you are able, in body or spirit, whether at home or in this sanctuary? By the Holy Spirit, all who believe and are baptized receive a ministry to witness to Jesus as Savior and Lord, and to love and serve those with whom they live and work. We are ambassadors for Christ, who reconciles and makes whole. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We welcome our sister in Christ, Bernadette. Joyfully we receive you. Join with this church as we give witness in the world to the good news, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Now I'll lead you in our congregational prayer. God of all blessings, source of all life, giver of all grace, we thank you for the gift of life, for the breath that sustains life, for the food, this earth that nurtures life, for the love of family, friends, without which there would be no life. We thank you for setting us in communities, for families who nurture our becoming, for friends who love us by choice, for companions at work who share our burdens and daily tasks, for strangers who welcome us into their midst, for people from other lands who call us to grow in understanding, for children who lighten our moments with delight, for the unborn who offer us hope for the future. We thank you for this day, for life, and one more day to love, and one more day to work for justice and peace, for your grace and one more experience of your presence, for your promise to be with us, to be our God, and to give salvation. Now, I'll share some of our members of our congregation who specifically gave thank you for the following. So thanks to God for our children and for the possibility of learning in schools in person. For coffee break and the ability to meet in person, as coffee break ladies for the past years studied the book of Corinthians with a group of 10, while other ladies met weekly on Zoom. During a pandemic which required distancing from others, we were still able to feel the love and care of our church community. Thank you, Lord, for those who worked to make that possible. Thankful and grateful to our Creator and Almighty God for loving me and us so perfectly. Mm-hmm. Thankful for friends in the walking group and the flowers they planted on our church property this past spring and summer. Thankful for the people who have kept our church open and operational. Thankful for the new furnace we got at the beginning of the lockdown. Thankful for the tech team who have worked tirelessly every Sunday and spent many hours to make our online worship happen. For those and all blessings, we give you thanks, eternal loving God. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
At this time, we continue our worship with our offerings. We are not taking up an offering this morning. The Committee of Administration has asked me to announce that it's working pretty well to do online donations. So if you are in the habit of doing online donations, please continue to give that way, even after we start reassembling. But if you did bring money or a check that you'd like to leave, there is a plate in the north foyer, and you can definitely drop it there. And of course, we receive that with thanksgiving. We take up two offerings at this church. The first offering is for the ongoing work of this church, and you have been very faithful. That is one of the signs of God's faithfulness among us, is the way you've continued to give during this time. And of course, every week we take up a second offering, and our second offering today is for the Toronto District Christian High School, an academic community in which students are helped to deepen their commitment to Christ and to prepare for a life of Christian service and stewardship. And now let me leave you with this blessing. You stand, please. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly more than all that we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Go in his peace. And all God's people say, Amen. Okay. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, I'm going to let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine.